W. Tozer said these words, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." Ponder that for a moment. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Now, if that is true, and I tend to believe it is, then it becomes incredibly important that we understand and we know who God is according to divine revelation. I stand before you today and to say without apology and without any fear of contradiction, I need God. I need God. And you need God, and your family needs God, and this church and your church needs God. The United States of America needs God, and our world needs God. But listen, we do not need the any old God will do you God. We do not need a God who isn't. We need the God who is. Last Sunday, I looked at the first portion of the 16th Psalm. I read to you and will again that Psalm from the New Living Translation of God's Word. And I do this because it sharpens our attention on the God who is. And some of you will remember that last week I said, the God who is enough. And I have come to believe that with every fiber of my being. The God who is, Jehovah God, Yahweh, the I Am, is always and forever sufficient. The God who is enough. Let's read from Psalm 16. You follow along in your Bible as I read. Here's what the psalmist prayed. "Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, 'You are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you.' The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them." Verse 4, "Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the name of their gods. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." David had such an excellent understanding of who God is. And for David, and for me, and I would submit, and for you, the God who is enough. Now, you may or may not have heard the message last Sunday, so very quickly, let me bring you up to speed, because I shared with you three answers last week from the 16th chapter to this question: who is this God who is enough? And I reminded you that when you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in your Old Testament, it's speaking not about a generic God. No, it's talking about the one true God who revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. He is the I am that I am. He is the I will be what I will be. He is the creator God. He is the sustainer God. He is the redeemer God. He is the restorer God. He is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who is this God? And from the text last Sunday, I shared these things. First, from verse 1, the God who is our refuge in times of trouble. And then from verse 2, the God who is our source for every good thing. And then from verse 5, the God who is the guardian of our inheritance. That brings us to the last five verses of the 16th chapter of the book of Psalms. And we will find again who he is. Remember what you think about when you think about God. May very well be the most important thing about you. Who is this God who is enough? We'll look for answers. Look back again with me at verse number 7. In the New Living Translation of verse number 7, here's what the psalmist said. I will bless the Lord who, what? Guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Let me give you some alternate translations. The New King James Version. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. David knew, and I know, that I need the counsel of God. Psalm 23, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 32:8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. In Psalm 48:14, he is our God forever and ever, and he will guide us until we die. I love that. Who is the God who is enough? Answer number 4. Here we go. The God who is the God who guides his people. Don't you think we need that in our lives and in our land and in our world? The God who is the God who guides his people. A few years ago, I developed a love-hate relationship with an inanimate object. It's called the GPS. I truly depend on it, but I truly hate it sometimes. We've been taken to strange places. I remember well going to the First Baptist Church in Lamar, Missouri with my sweet wife. And I followed that thing and it took me up and around. And then it said, you have arrived at your destination. And all that was there was a field. There was no First Baptist Church there. I had to get out my safari, and I had to look again, and I had to find an address, and I had to drive around back onto the main street, and then there was a sign. But the GPS, that global positioning system, will fail you. Listen to me. God's positioning system will never fail you. That GPS you can count on. And the wonderful thing is we have God's Word written and we have God's living Word, Jesus Christ, to help us know where we are and how to get home. How to get where we need to be. That is the guidance that God gives to those who ask. And let me tell you, if you do not have His guidance, you may be lost. Ponder that. If you do not have His guidance, and if you've not responded to that guidance. By the way, another thing that I used to hate about my GPS, I don't think it does it now, but it was this, recalibrating. But you know, in my spiritual life, I desperately need to go to the Word of God and let that Word of God instruct me in doctrine and reprove me and give me that path to righteousness and guide me. The God who is the God who guides His people. And I need Him. And no substitute will do. So, we now move to verse number 8. Watch this because I love it so much. Here's what it says. Again, verse 8, I'm in the New Living Translation. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. That's pretty good stuff. To know that He is with me, to know that He is right beside me. Now David, he understood that. Because when he faced the lion, God was with him. When he faced the bear, God was with him. When he faced Goliath, God was with him. When he was victorious over his enemies, God was with him. But God was with him when he was hiding in the cave also. God was with him when he pretended to be mentally unstable. God was with him when he failed and sinned grievously. David moved, but God was still there convicting him and disciplining him. David's joy was gone, but his God wasn't. Let me give you that fifth answer. The fifth answer to the question, who is this God who is enough? The God who is the God who goes with His people. Emmanuel, God with us. He will never, never, never leave us. He will never forsake us. The Bible says our father and mother might forsake us, but the Lord will take care of us. What a comfort that is to some. The old hymn that I thought of as I was preparing for today was the hymn, No, Never Alone. Let me read you some words. I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior telling me, still two sides on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Listen to this. When in affliction's valley I'm treading the road of care, my Savior helps me to carry my cross when heavy to bear. Though all around me is darkness, earthly joys all flown, my Savior whispers His promise, I never will leave thee alone. One more verse. He died for me on the mountain. For me, they pierced His side. For me, He opened the fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me, He's waiting in glory, seated upon His throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Listen, He will correct me. He will discipline me. He will withdraw the experience of His presence from me if I walk in rebellion. He may refuse to answer my prayer. He may even turn His face from me, but He'll never, ever leave me alone. The God who is the God who goes with His people. He never leaves you alone. Quick review, and then we take the last one. Here's the review. The God who is our refuge in times of trouble. Verse 1. The God who is our source for every good thing. Verse 2, the God who is the guardian of our inheritance. By the way, what He gives, He guards. Hallelujah. The God who is the God who guides His people, and the God who is the God who goes with His people. And then the last one. You probably could guess what it is. It's in verse 9. Let me read it again. No wonder my heart is glad, and I rejoice. And then in verse number 11, you show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Eugene Peterson, in his marvelous paraphrase called The Message, he translated verse 9 this way: I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. Oh, don't you love that? I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. And I know that he's speaking in part prophetically of Jesus Christ Himself. But that joy is for me. And that joy is for you. He has made me glad. Several years ago, I heard a friend named Lance Ogden at a funeral for a dear, sweet lady. And he said these words: this is a sad day, but it is not a bad day, for it is her glad day. Don't you like that? This is a sad day, but it's not a bad day. For her, it is her glad day. And that's true for those of us who know Jesus Christ. Calvin Miller says it is of Christians and Christians only that it can be said they're better off dead. Wow. To know that in our lives, this God can give us gladness even on the day that we face death. So, number 6, are you ready? We want to ask the question one more time. Who is the God who is enough? And it's the God who is the God who makes His people glad. Aren't you glad that He has made us glad? Now, I'm going to say a sentence, and you're going to answer back to me. And you're going to answer back strongly if you're in this room, because there's just a few of us. But I want you to answer back with these two words: I'm glad. That's all you have to do. And you who are at home, children, adults, whomever it may be, you answer back as well. My soul is saved. I'm glad. My sins are gone. I'm glad. Satan's power is broken. I'm glad. My home is heaven. My God is good. Oh, you folks did well here. Hope you did at home, because this is the reality for the people of God. See, I need God. You need God. All of creation needs God. But we do not need any old God will do you God. We need Yahweh, Jehovah, the I Am. And the good news is that we can be part of His family. It's a good time for me to remind you that if you cannot say all that we've said, that God is my refuge, that God is my source, that God is the guardian of my inheritance, that God guides me, that God goes with me, that God makes me glad, if you can't say that now, you can just as soon as you hear that message of salvation, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture, and He was buried, and He rose on the third day, and He was seen. And when you place your trust in Him alone, salvation's by the grace of God alone, through faith in Christ alone, plus nothing. Oh, just believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says you'll be saved. Now hear me. That can only happen when the Holy Spirit convicts you. That can only happen when the Father Himself draws you. That can only happen when you repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ. But you can do it right now. And then you can say, this God is My God, the Lord, is my shepherd. Oh, I'm thankful today for God. I'm thankful for the God who is. Because the God who is and will always be enough. Let's pray. Father, forgive me for the times that I have thought improperly concerning you. Forgive me for the times that I have listened to the whisper of the adversary who would say, God doesn't know and God doesn't care. That's not who you are. Your Son, Jesus Christ, is the best revelation of you that we can possibly have. And we have His life recorded in sacred Scripture, and we can know you. But we can only know you through Jesus Christ, who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So, Father, I come today to say thank you for your patience with me. Help me to always think properly of you, to always remember that you are the God who is, and that the God who is enough. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.